Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour, an editorial review, is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on natural disasters when we come back. Well, the genocidal policy of Global 2000, this New World Order, are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. And that's not just my opinion. Jesus of Nazareth held that same view when he said in Matthew 24, verse 22, that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. Now, there are 64 of these life-threatening problems described in the Scripture which deal with this New World Order and their Global 2000 genocide agenda. The Scripture teaches preparation for this great tribulation, not apathy and indifference. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists, these philosophers, preachers, and politicians. Now, if you'd like to do just that, why don't you call and ask us for our 64 life-threatening problems from the Scripture. And let's talk about formulating a real, meaningful, intelligent plan to survive Global 2000 and these other 64 life-threatening problems which are called, in their totality, the Great Tribulation. Just call and order our free general law CD package. That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. You can call right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our Subsistence and Survival School is also available on compact disc for adult home education if you're online. Why don't you go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about natural disasters. Carrying along with natural disasters is an article here called The Dust Bowl, a Sequel. If you'll remember, the term Dust Bowl comes out of the Depression years of the 1930s. And not only was there a Great Depression, an economic collapse of the world's economy, but in addition to that, here in the United States, we had this thing that we called the Great Dust Bowl because there was a great drought here, a great drought. In fact, at the time, it was billed as the worst drought in 500 years. Now, surprisingly, as I speak here in the year 2007, the great drought of the 1930s has now been surpassed by the great drought of the early 21st century. The last 7 years have been the driest 7 years in the western United States in more than 500 years, according to what they call dendrochronology. Now, you go take a look at the tree rings and take a look and see how these trees were growing 500 years ago. And you can actually date it back 500 years. It's kind of a neat little thing in science. But listen to this. Rumors of the impending apocalypse. I'm going to write that down. Apocalypse. It's not only catastrophe or disaster. They use words like apocalypse. Apocalypse. That's to get our attention, see. That's to get us to send our money to post office box so-and-so over here, you know, for the disaster relief fund. Anyway, they went on to say, the rumors of the impending apocalypse are now official. The recent spate of climate reports has confirmed predictions that in coming decades, the American West will see conditions similar to the 1930s, which we call the Dust Bowl. But unlike that drought, the current drought, which began in 2000, may not end and might actually become longer and drier, like the multi-decade droughts recorded in tree ring surveys of past centuries, or perhaps it could be even worse than that. Well, that's not very good, you know, for being a prophet. Let me underline these. It might be worse, or it might actually become. You know, you notice these guys, they always want to put a little caveat in there. Well, maybe it'll be worse, or maybe it won't be worse. What he's really saying is, we haven't got a clue. We don't know. We don't know. According to the most recent report from the United Nations-sponsored Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, that's the IPCC, human-caused global warming will shift precipitation northward. First of all, it might be, we don't know. But they come back and they say, this global warming will shift precipitation northward. How do you know it won't shift precipitation westward or eastward or southward? I don't know. They don't say either. I'm not really sure that these guys are as good prophets as they'd like to be. Anyway, it says they'll bring desert-like dry conditions up elevation into the mountain ranges and up latitude into forests and grasslands. There will be less snowpack, but more violent winter flooding and lower river flows in spring and summer. Most models agree that a decrease in precipitation of 10 to 30% over the mid-latitude western North America will be accompanied by an increase of 10 to 40% over already wet, high-latitude North America, where crop and forest yields will increase. The dry will get drier, and the wet will get wetter, but one region's good fortune will not balance out another region's misfortune. In the desert southwest, the Intermountain West, and the southern Great Plains, according to, now this is the IPCC. That's the UN agency monitoring the climate change. The drying landscape will be under siege from pests, disease, and fire, and more intense fires, burning ever greater acreage. The economies of rural areas will likely be devastated. That's a nice word, devastated. I'm going to put that over here. We've got disasters, catastrophes, apocalypse, and devastated. Devastated, I'll write that down. As forests are leveled and are replaced by brush and scrub, as marginal grazing lands degrade and erode into deserts, and as agriculture is stressed by heat, vanishing rainfall, and escalating competition for irrigation water between farms and cities. That doesn't strike me as being a very good balance there, but that's what they tell us we got to look forward to. The extent of future drought is mapped by two broad sets of data. The first is from extensive tree ring studies showing regional rainfall and stream flow patterns in past centuries. These show that droughts like that of the Dust Bowl are normal. Well, no, I'm going to underline that. Droughts like the Dust Bowl are normal. They're cyclical and historically common. More alarmingly, they show a pattern of vastly more severe, multi-decade droughts in past centuries, which may have contributed to the downfall of advanced agricultural societies like the Anasazi and the Hohokam. All right, now let's underline that. Like the downfall, the destruction of the Anasazi and the Hohokam. Excuse me, let's pause here and think about this. Could it be that the same God that destroyed those two civilizations is in the process of destroying ours? I mean, just a wild thought. Because over here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, God makes an observation. He says, you will not prolong your days on the land if you don't practice the Ten Commandments. You will not prolong your days on the land. He goes a step further. He says, I'm going to repay all of those that hate me to their face. Now notice here in this article, they tell us that these droughts are cyclical. Excuse me, once every 500 years is cyclical. The Colorado River is running at about 5 million acre feet a year. In recent historic times, it's been running at three times greater than that, 15 million acre-feet a year. Now it's running about 5 to 7, depending upon the year and the snowpack, of course, about half to a third of what it has been running in the past 100 years. Has it ever occurred to anybody that God caused it to rain, gave us that water, and now he's taken it away from us? Just, I know it's a wild thought, but I'm just going to throw that out there. Now you've got more people today, depending upon the Colorado River, than there were 100 years ago. That's more today than 100 years ago. Now, you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure out that that's not good, that something is bad there. And as a result of that, there's going to be some repercussions. Now, if you got people down here in Los Angeles, as an illustration, and they water their lawns and they live their lives depending upon that Colorado water, and then you got people over in Phoenix, Arizona, they're doing the same thing. And then you got people everywhere else, and they're all doing the same thing, you know, up and down the river. And these people now, they're depending upon the river for this water. And we're tapping the river to such a degree that the river doesn't even run out to the ocean. We use all the water up here in the United States before it even reaches Mexico or the Gulf of Lower California. Now, cut that water flow by two-thirds, you know, half to two-thirds, and then tell me that nothing to worry about, everything's going along fine. Huh? Now, remember that this guy points out that there are two previous Indian civilizations, and there was a prophecy in the scripture where God said, I'll drive these people out little by little, like with hornets. And he did. In fact, if you want to take a look at the United States, we take a lot of credit here in this country for driving the Indians out. When Columbus arrived back in 1492, discovered America before Leif Erikson, before America BC. Anyway, here's Columbus, 1492. Estimated population, Indians, North America, 16 million. Back in 1892, last battle, Wounded Knee, North Dakota. The population of the United States, Indians, this is Indians, Native Americans. 750,000 is less than a million. And what's the conclusion? Well, the American Army, that's the United States Pony Soldiers, killed 15 million. No, they didn't. Every Indian killed was carefully documented. We killed 40,000. The United States Army killed 40,000 Indians between 1776 and 1892. You got that? 40,000. So what happened to the Indians? They were driven out. How were they driven out? a combination of things, mainly disease, smallpox, syphilis, gonorrhea, drought. Take a look at the American Southwest, drought drove them out. Now notice when the Americans take over here, when Powell goes through the Grand Canyon, does his explorations, the river's running three times what it is today. Three times. And today it's down to about 5 million acre feet a year. Now, what does that say to you? It sends me a signal. It says, no, it isn't cyclical. It occurs once in a great while, and there's a God out there, and this God, just like Mayor Ray Nagin said, you know, looks like he targeted New Orleans in his gun sights. That's just exactly what this drought reminds me of. Target. He's done it before, and he's going to do it again. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. Now, an upsurge in wildfires is the outcome of that. Now, listen to this. Here's wildfire hazards. Remember, we're talking about droughts and wildfires and earthquakes and volcanic eruption, war and tsunamis, tornadoes, hurricanes. Call these natural disasters. Now, about 10 or 15 years ago, here in the United States, we were burning about 2 million acres a year. Last year, it was 9 million. 2, 4, 6, 8. That's more than four times the amount of acreage being burned up every year through wildfires. Hey, that isn't a good idea. You know, burning up all this timber out here is not good for lumber prices. It's not good for the habitat for wild animals. It's not good for the cities and communities or the little towns where all you people want to live out in Colorado, up in the mountains, out in the wild country, you know, out there where it's free and wild. That's not a very good prospect. It's bad, and it's getting worse. Has anybody ever awakened to the fact that, hey, shucks, this isn't cyclical, that maybe the hand of God himself is down upon our necks? Just a wild new thought. Now, wildfires are growing natural hazards. They're growing in most regions of the United States, posing a threat to life and property, particularly where native ecosystems meet developed areas. However, because fire is a natural and often beneficial process, fire suppression can lead to more severe fires due to the buildup of vegetation, which creates more fuel. I got to put a bracket around that. Some years ago, we got a bunch of city kids out here in the country, and they said, well, we got a new idea about fires. And so in 1988, the fire got started up in Yellowstone. And these whiz kids from the city, with their PhDs and so on, and they came out there and they said, just let the fires alone. Just let nature take its course. And they did. And it burned more than 2 million acres just in the park itself. Finally, one day somebody woke up and said, you know, if we don't stop, that's going to burn the whole damn park. So they did. They went up and put it out. I don't know where all these neat ideas come from, but, you know, people are born in New York City and then they go to college. I mean, this guy doesn't have any, he doesn't have a clue as to what the hell the real world is like. He goes to college, he wants to major in something. He says, well, I want to get out in the country, so I'm going to major in forestry. So he becomes a forestry major, and so he reads some books, and he goes out here into the real world. And he applies all these theories and ideas that he developed in college and out of these books. He puts it to work out here in the real world, and it doesn't work out there, which doesn't make any difference because it's all paid for by taxpayer dollars anyway. Finally, he retires. We get rid of him, and then somebody else, just as bad or worse, comes in and takes his place. And these are the people that are running your government. And they run your government from the Treasury, where they haven't balanced the budget in over 50 years. They, you know, you keep electing these guys back to office, and they can't balance the budget. And they've all got PhDs and master's degrees, and they're economists, and they're, you know. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe you ought to throw those jerks out and hire some farmer from Iowa and put him in there? I mean, some guy that actually balances his own budget there on the farm. Has it ever occurred to any of you people to actually put a farmer in as the Secretary of Treasury, a guy that actually balances his books in his business life, in as the Secretary of Treasury, instead of putting in these economists and all of these wild-eyed fanatics that have never run a business, never hired anybody, never produced anything, never made anything, never created any real wealth, and then you put them in there and expect them to balance your national budget? Huh? Just a wild new idea. In addition, the secondary effects of wildfires, including erosion, landslides, introduction of invasive species, and changes in water quality, are often endemic with wildfires. Now, the federal government annually spends billions of dollars to suppress these fires. There's a big fire going right now down Florida and Georgia. Closed the freeway, evacuated in one county. These wildfires increase the potential for flooding, debris flow, and landslide. Smoke and other emissions contain pollutants that can cause significant health problems. Short-term effects, destruction of timber, forage, wildlife habitats, scenic vistas, and watersheds. The long-term events or effects, reduced access to recreational areas, destruction of community infrastructure and cultural and economic resources. So I point that out. Firefighters worked to control a wildfire near Springer, Oklahoma on Monday, January 16th, 2006. And they got a picture in here. After the flames, the risk remains. Wildfires. A wildfire in Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming approaches a gift shop and lodge on Wednesday, September 7th, 1988. That's a National Park Service photo. and wildfire left very little of this home near San Bernardino, California in October of 2003. Got these fires out here in Southern California. They go on, you know, year after year after year. Somebody ever said to themselves, geez, why don't we do something about that? More land has been affected by wildfires in recent years than at any time since the 1960s. In 2004, wildfires burned 8 million acres in 40 states. Got that? The Greater Yellowstone National Park Fire of 1988 burned 1.2 million acres. Wildfire severity has increased. The fire frequency has decreased during the past 200 years. Fire frequency has decreased during the past 200 years. But the increase in fire, more acreage. Many species depend on wildfires to improve habitat, recycle nutrients, and maintain diverse communities. And land management agencies light prescribed fires under controlled conditions for specific management objectives. They did that down in New Mexico, and the damn thing got away on them a couple of years ago. All right, and I just wanted to point that out, that that's one of the problems that we've got here called wildfires. In case you didn't know, they're up by 400%. 400%. Four times as much acreage is now being consumed by wildfire as was being consumed 15 years ago. Now that sends me a signal. It says to me something is out of whack here. Last time I reported today, we're talking about natural disasters. Hal Lindsey, Matthew 24, remember? Now we got this Dust Bowl. It's worse now. The drought in the West is worse now than it's been in 500 years. Worse than the 1930s. We talk about catastrophes and disasters. Matthew 24 says this is the beginning of sorrow. This is just the beginning of it. These disasters, natural disasters, are on the increase. Between 1990 and 2007, over the past 17 years, the United Nations is watching, and they're reporting to us that they are increasing. Not decreasing, not remaining the same. If it was cyclical, boys and girls, we'd have a spate, and then we'd have another spate, and so on. They're not cyclical. Now they want to blame it on natural warming or global warming, they call it. Excuse me? The sunspot cycle, they're not reporting to you. So that's why I thought I'd do that for you. Dust Bowl, wildfires, and more hurricanes and more tornadoes. Furthermore, as we get more and more sunspots, and these sunspots are occurring at a period when there should be fewer of them, the sunspots do appear cyclical. Listen to this. In Colombia, a volcano goes off. Have you noticed that there are volcanoes going off around the world? Have you noticed that in the news? They don't report those very often. Why is it? Because volcanoes don't kill very many people. There's no money in it. You got a volcano over there in Hawaii. It's been going off for the last 30 years. I was over there some years back, 20 years ago now. And it was going off then. It's still going off today. This Katie Couric report on the volcano going off in Hawaii. No, didn't kill anybody. So they're not interested in something that doesn't make money, something that doesn't shock your conscience. Now, if that volcano blew out on the other side like Mount St. Helens, killed 60 people, caused smoke and ash, you know, to fall clear to West Virginia, now that'd get the news for a couple of days. Listen to this down in Columbia. A long dormant volcano erupted late Tuesday and early Wednesday, provoking avalanches and floods that swept away houses and bridges and prompted thousands to evacuate. There are 10,000 people in the zone, of which we've already evacuated 3,500. Luz Amanda Pulido, director of the National Disaster Office, told the Associated Press after flying over the volcano in southwest Colombia, there were no reports of deaths or injuries. The volcano's eruption at 10:37 p.m. Tuesday was its first on record since Colombia was colonized by the Spanish 500 years ago. A second eruption occurred at 2:57 a.m. on Wednesday. Now, a little later on, we're going to get to better reporting. Let me just make an observation here. Is this better reporting? You bet. No doubt about it. Because 100 years ago, 300 years ago, 500 years ago, nobody was reporting on this volcano, period. Nobody cared. 100 years ago, when a tornado touched down on the plains of Kansas, nobody knew about it. Today, we've got weather stations. I forgot what the number is. I think it's around 3,000 here in the United States. You can't have a tornado. Every tornado that occurs, even if it's up in the air, they've got it monitored on radar. I mean, they got that thing scoped up, and they report it. So there is an element here to better reporting. But better reporting does not explain tsunamis, for instance. Global warming doesn't explain tsunamis, for instance. There's not everything that's explained by global warming, although that's the answer that you see in the newspapers. That's the propaganda they keep telling us constantly. Well, it's global warming. Well, it's global warming. Well, it's caused by auto emissions and power generating stations. There's probably some truth to that. If global warming is a problem and you strike a match, you have added to global warming. Excuse me. Volcanoes put out more of these CO2 gases in one eruption than all of the activities of mankind on planet Earth combined. Just one volcano eruption puts out more. And then they come to us and they say, well, it's your fault. You know, you're using electricity and you're driving your car up and down the highway. And I'm sitting here as an observer saying, well, I'm sure that my car driving up and down the highway is probably adding some gasoline to the fire. But it sure as hell isn't the cause of it. Now, that's the bottom line to that. Throwing gas on the fire, don't deny it. We're not helping anything, but we're not causing that. There's something else or somebody else that's causing that. So in order to warm up the Earth, to melt the ice packs, and I don't doubt that the ice packs are melting. I see the satellite pictures. But that doesn't mean that the power station over here or my trip to Springfield yesterday caused that. It might contribute to it, but it didn't cause it. But the sunspots do, and the volcanic eruptions do. And I didn't cause the volcanic eruptions, and I don't have anything to do with the sunspots. Honest to God, I didn't do it. Don't blame it on Gordon. Now, the seismic activity remains light but permanent. And we can't rule out another bigger event in the next hours or days, said Mario Ballesteros. He's the director of the Government's Institute for Geology and Mining. Well, now that's an understatement if I ever saw one. We can't rule out another bigger event. He can't predict it. He can't rule it out. He doesn't know. But you know, the guy that's making this report has to write some words on the paper so that Katie Kirk will have something to say while they're selling you drugs on the CBS Evening News. So they write in little paragraphs like that. The bridges were swept away. The highway used by the indigenous in the zone were destroyed in various kilometers. And the problem we have now is the lack of a route to deliver goods and medicine to the population. Goods. Yeah, these people don't have goods and medicines. Let me ask you this. What do you think is going to happen when this happens in Wichita, Kansas, or Springfield, Missouri, or Eureka, California, or Seattle, Washington? What do you think is going to happen? Oh, by the way, for you people out there in Seattle, at Mount Rainier, you know, is active. And it's getting more active. And it has blown up in the past, just like Mount St. Helens. And it's going to blow up in the future. We don't know when. But they've got seismic indicators, 126 of these machines, little seismic indicators all over the mountain, measuring it. And it's expanding. It's getting bigger. And it's working. And it's getting ready to blow up. Did you know that? No, it's been doing that now for the last 10, 20, 30 years. They've been measuring the thing. And they're sitting there saying, well, one of these days the thing's going to blow up. All right, now there's more people up there today. I mean, you got millions of people around Puyallup and Tacoma and Seattle and little towns in between. And when that thing goes off, it's going to kill a bunch of people. It's going to disrupt life up there. Now, I think it would be better for all of us if we had a God that could prevent that thing from going off. You know, a real God. I'm not talking about this religious experience that you have. I'm talking about somebody that actually has some power and could prevent a Hurricane Katrina, could stop it, eliminate it, so that we don't have to rebuild New Orleans. I think that would be in our best interest. Ain't going to happen, but I just thought I'd point that out to you. So there's a natural disaster up there at Mount Rainier that's going to happen at some point in the future, and you people out there in Washington State have something to look forward to. You have something to look forward to because of Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and Matthew 24. So I thought I'd throw that one out there for you. Pay attention. And let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet daily. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. And the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us here at the Law School Direct at 417-273-4967. All right. So there's another one down here called volcanoes. Now, volcanic activity has been increasing. In fact, we did a little research here at the Law Hour. I said, hey, Dirk, go look this up. Take a look at earthquakes. Let's just give you an illustration here on earthquakes. Earthquakes have been going on for a long time in the world. They're not anything new. There have been some big ones. Killed thousands of people. For hundreds of years, we've got some pretty good records that go back for a long time. I said, take a look at the last 100 years. And then he did. And over the last 100 years, earthquakes are increasing in both number and the size of the earthquakes. Better reporting, I'm told. That's true. There is better reporting. There is better reporting. In fact, earthquakes, they have a thing called the Richter scale. And they go from 0 to 1, and then 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So you take a look at the number of earthquakes that occurred in the range of 9 to 10. That would be a 9 plus. And you find out that over the last 15 years, there's been 3 of them. You go back 15, 20 years before that, and you don't have any. An earthquake that hits 9 on the Richter scale is a very rare event. Very rare. Over the last 15 years, we've had 3. Now take a look at from 8 to 9. Those are also pretty rare. How many of those have been? 3 times as many over the last 15 years. Boys and girls, nobody misses a 9, nobody misses an 8. Knocks everything down. Where you've got better reporting is from 1 to 2. An earthquake that is just a little rattler that you probably didn't even feel. You've got to have very sophisticated equipment to measure those. And we're measuring those all over the world. And we're able to measure those with specificity. Yes, there is some better reporting, no doubt about it. And I would venture a guess that 30 years from now there will be better reporting. But now, you're not saying today in the year 2007 that we're unable to detect 8 to 9 earthquakes on the Richter scale now, are you? I mean, we're not missing any tsunamis wiping out 250,000 people now, are we? And neither were they back in 1756 when a big earthquake hit Lisbon, Portugal. The big earthquakes, the big volcanic eruptions like Krakatoa in 1883, nobody missed those. They weren't reported immediately, but nobody missed them. They wrote them down. Now, how many of those Krakatoas have been going off? And how much of this CO2 global warming is attributable to these volcanoes? I mentioned this to you before the break. There was a volcano over in the Philippines, went off here, I don't know, a few years back, 10 years now, probably. It put into the atmosphere 3 times more CO2 than all of the events of mankind combined. If you take all of the CO2 that has ever been put into the atmosphere by all of the activities of mankind from the Garden of Eden until tonight at 5 o'clock, that one volcano put in 3 times more. Did it in one eruption. Now, kids, come on. Let's grow up and get real. This horse pucky that we've been fed here, that global warming is caused by power stations, it's got some truth to it. They're not lying to you. They're just not telling you the whole truth, not giving you all the facts. Global warming, yep, there's global warming going on. 10, 15 years ago, there was a question, the world is getting warmer, how do you know? Well, because one-third of the polar ice cap has melted off, and it's melting every year. And we're getting less snowpack in the Sierras out in the west, in the Rockies. And we've got more drought and less water running down the Colorado River. All right, so we can measure that, we can see that. Global warming is, in fact, happening. All right, so on the debate, global warming is happening, global warming is not happening. Now we know the answer, global warming is, in fact, happening. Second question, global warming is caused by power plants and burning gas in your automobile. No, it isn't. It adds to the problem. It doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't help the problem. But all you need is one volcano going off, like a Krakatoa in 1883. Or that one in the Philippines, I don't know if I can pronounce it, Papatoa or something like that. Started with a P. Anyway, moral of the story is that part of what you're reading here, part of what you hear from Katie Couric is the truth. But part of it is a lie. Part of it is an exaggeration, which is the subject matter of this week's discussion. That catastrophes, disasters, apocalypse, devastated, are being overused to sell you and me on a product called global warming. I don't know exactly what it is they want to sell me, but I'm not going to buy it. And if you want to buy it, get after it. I'm not opposed to Now take a look at this. We got volcanoes. We got wildfires. And now we got wildfires in Florida. And as I speak, we got wildfires in Florida. Now listen, kids, Florida isn't exactly in the desert Southwest. You know, we're not talking about Florida and Georgia and the southeastern United States, you know, as being in the drought bowl, the desert Southwest. I mean, these are wet, almost tropical areas. Not tropical, but they're called semi-tropical. You know, they're temperate, to say the least. And there's usually lots of rain there. But now they're having drought in Florida. They're having wildfires in Florida. So I thought I'd report that to you. Well, what's that all about? Is it cyclical? Is it something that comes up? Hell, I never heard of that before. You know, go back 30 years, 40 years. I don't think we were having any droughts in Florida. Now, if there was, I'd heard about it. That's not to say that there never has been. It probably has been. At some point in time in the past, there's probably been a drought in Florida. But it was a pretty rare event. But I noticed in the last 30 years, it's pretty common. They're just having one drought after another. Then they get some rain down there and then have another drought. Now, dense smoke and that closed parts of two major interstate highways was expected to keep choking Floridians and traffic until at least midday or mid-morning Sunday. The smoke was generated by huge wildfires burning in northern Florida and southern Georgia. Interstate 75 remained closed from Valdosta, Georgia, south to Lake City, Florida. This is, so said Colonel Chris Knight, director of the Florida Highway Patrol. Interstate 10 was closed from Sanderson, Florida, eastward to Live Oak. If you don't have to travel, we simply ask that you don't, and I advise it's gridlock. You'll be sitting on the interstate. Several crashes involving injuries occurred before the freeways were shut down, he said. The Florida Highway Patrol intermittently reopened sections Saturday afternoon to relieve traffic snarls as some of the smoke cleared. However, the roads remained officially closed. Traffic from the heavily traveled interstates was being diverted onto alternate routes where visibility was better. Restaurants, gas stations, and other businesses closed in the Lake City area because people couldn't get to them. The fires have scorched 212,000 acres, according to the Joint Information Center. That's a coalition of state and federal agencies. Of those acres, 101,000 were in Florida, 111,000 in Georgia. Here, I want to point this out to you. Here in the United States, if you've got a fire that's under 1,000 acres, we don't even report it. You know how big 1,000 acres is? Well, 640 acres is a square mile. So 1,000 acres is bigger than a mile and a half. That's taking 1.5 square miles and burning it off. We don't even report those. Now, when they get up to 100,000 acres, we report those. Now, 100,000, 10 of those makes a million acres. 40 states. You take 40 states with 100,000 acres, that's 4 million acres. And boys and girls, we're burning off 9 million acres a year here in the United States. Used to burn off 2 every year pretty regularly. You know, now we burn off as much in a year as we did in 8 or 10 years, you know, 30 years ago. Something's changing here, kids. Something's getting bigger and worse and better. Now, I said officials said Saturday afternoon that although the fires grew some during the day, fire lines were established. And we'll start showing a little bit more containment tonight. So said Mike Quisenberry of the Southern Area Incident Management. He predicted the fires would be 10 to 15% contained by Sunday morning. The Georgia fires were at 0% containment. Now, with time and rain, we can get these fires suppressed, said Ira Jolly of the Florida Division of Forestry. God, I read statements like that and I can shake my head. Listen to this. Listen to this statement. This comes from the newswires. With time and rain, we can get these fires suppressed. Kids, with time and rain, the fires will burn themselves out naturally. You don't need any human intervention at all with time and rain. That's the problem. It's the time and it's the lack of rain. And meanwhile, people have moved into these areas and built cities and built their homes out in the countryside. It's like I have. You know, I'm out here in the countryside. And I'm a little concerned about wildfire because if a fire goes through here, let's just picture right where I'm at. It doesn't rain here for 3 or 4 months. Boy, that's a crisis. Because now everything dries out and my house is surrounded by forest, surrounded by woods. Now it catches on fire and it burns. My house burns now. And I'm not the only guy. Millions of people just like me want to live out in the country. And we moved out to the country because it rained and because we depend upon the rain. Rain in due season, as the Bible calls it. We're not getting rain in due season. And Matthew 24 says you're not going to get rain in due season, so you're going to have drought. Drought is going to cause wildfires, cause and effect relationship. So let's pay attention here. And this guy over here, and this guy must have a college degree. Listen to the statement. He says, with time and rain, we can get these fires suppressed. He came from the Florida Division of Forestry. Before there was a Florida Division of Forestry, there were forest fires. And with time and rain, in 1750, the forest fires put themselves out. Forecasters predicted a 50% chance of storms Sunday afternoon with north winds of only 5 to 10 miles an hour. The chance of showers dropped to 40% Sunday night under partly cloudy skies. Cloudy conditions and fog were expected Sunday morning, which would be bad for traffic but good for the firefighters trying to gain the upper hand. Now, mandatory evacuations were in place along both sides of U.S. Highway 441 from I-10 north to the Florida-Georgia line. Parts of U.S. 441 were closed on both sides of the state line. Shelters were opened at the Winfield Community Center in Lake City. David Holstad, chief of the state emergency response team, urged people to stay indoors and use air conditioners to filter the air. He also urged homeowners in the area to clear flammable materials from a 30-foot radius around their homes. Well, now that makes some sense. So as long as we're thinking about it, that's what I've done here. You got to clear the brush and the areas around your buildings. I don't think 30 feet's enough. I'll give you a little further report. When this thing gets bad enough, like it did in 1895 up in Minnesota, they have what they call firestorm. That's what happened in Dresden. You get a firestorm going, you get the heat so hot, sucks all the oxygen out, it makes its own wind, makes its own air circulation, and it explodes. And it'll burn up whole towns. The firestorm flying over. I mean, it just sucks all the oxygen. Now people die from lack of oxygen from the fires. Now, we haven't seen anything like that since the 1890s. We've had firestorms. We understand the science behind these firestorms. We haven't seen any, at least I haven't heard of any, in this country in 100 years. But I would suspect that you can probably expect them again. And I think that Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 are being acted out right in front of our eyeballs. And they're calling these cyclical over here is a disservice, although it fits the evolutionary philosophies of our colleges and universities, and of course the public officials that have letters after their names. Up in Minnesota, the Harm Lake fire on the Canadian border turned more than 52,000 acres, or destroyed more, burned more. Destroyed 134 structures as of Saturday. Fire was 5% contained. The cause of the blaze, which began a week ago, remained under investigation. Sunday's weather was expected to bring more wind and the possibility of thunderstorms. Meanwhile, in California, firefighters battling a blaze in Catalina Island off the coast said that they were making progress Saturday. Fire officials said the 4,200-acre blaze was 41% contained by late Saturday afternoon. Now, notice here, even on islands like Catalina Island, for crying out loud, out in the, 30 miles off the coast of California, you've got wildfires going out there. What's the upsurge here? What's the upshot of it all? Well, we're being punished is what it boils down to. And in Leviticus chapter 26, now read this for yourself. The personal pronoun I appears 20 times in the chapter. And this is a guy by the name of I. He says, I'm going to do this to you. I have done this to you. I have done this for this reason. I, 20 times. Now, for crying out loud, you know, God deserves a little bit of respect. Don't you think? I mean, when the guy comes in, fesses up and says, I'm the one that set off that bomb and we want credit for it. The news media gives him credit. God comes along and says, I have done this to you. And then the news media shuts up about it and says, oh, no, it's cyclical. No, it just happens that way. It evolved that way. God bless random chance, huh? Just happened by random chance. Now, that's what they keep telling us. Now, here's a guy that comes along and says, hey, listen, that Hurricane Katrina, I did it. I'm the guy. Blame me. And furthermore, he goes on a step further, and he says, and if you won't be reformed by me, by all of these things, I'm going to lean on you 7 times harder the next time. And so that's why we see over time that we're getting more severe tornadoes and more often. We're getting more severe earthquakes and more often. More severe hurricanes, and the hurricanes are coming more often. And it's because if you won't be reformed by me, by these things, I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. Now, sin is the transgression of the law. You'll see that in 1 John 3, verse 4. Turn over to, this is New Testament now for you Christians. You can read this. It's okay. It's okay for you. New Testament. 1 John 3, verse 4. Gives you the definition of sin. If you've wondered what is sin, what exactly is it? Sin is the transgression of the law. It's the violation. It's the breaking, the abrogating of a law. A law that says thou shalt or thou shalt not. Thou shalt pay thy taxes. Thou shalt not kill. Okay. You violate that law, and then there's a penalty. It's a penal clause. And if you don't have a penal clause and you don't have a law, you have a suggestion. You know, would you like to go to bed, Sandy? Hey, Tommy, would you like to go to bed? It's 8 o'clock. Hell no, I don't want to go to bed. I'm going to stay up and watch Ninja Turtles. Oh, okay. But I think it would be real good for you, Sandy, if you'd go to bed. Well, maybe you do, but I don't want to go to bed, and I'm going to bed. That's a suggestion. My daddy never suggested. He said, it's 8 o'clock. Go to bed. I talked back a couple of times. And then after the pain had subsided, I decided that going to bed was probably less painful. And then the next time, it's go to bed. Oh, yes, sir. I was raised in the era before child abuse. I was raised in an era when we still had discipline and authority. Today, discipline and authority is called child abuse. Yes, that's why I've turned out the way I've turned out. I was abused as a child. Number of earthquakes worldwide from 1990 to 2006 and the mortality figures. We just ought to give you a couple of sources. This is called the printinfoplease.com. Printinfoplease.com. So if you want the number of earthquakes worldwide from 1990 to 2006 and the mortality figures, you go to infoplease.com. HTTP info.colon/print.infoplease.com. And it'll give you these charts and graphs. Source, the National Earthquake Information Center of the U.S. Geological Survey and their website. All right. Now, this is the one I just reported to you. Here's the way it works. You've got a magnitude 8 to 9.9. In the year 2000, there was one. 2001, there was one. 2002, there was zero. 2003, there was one. 2004, there was two. 2005, there was one. 2006, there was zero. All right. Now, that's the frequency of them. They occur every year. But if you take a look at the period from 1990 to 1999, 1990, zero. 1991, zero. 1992, zero. 1993, one. 1994, two. 1995, three. 1996, one. 1997, zero. 1998, two. 1999, zero. The frequency is increasing. And if you go back to 1980 to 1989, you'll find that the number of earthquakes from 8 to 9.9 decreases again. And in fact, as we go back in time, we find out there's less and less of them. So all you have to do is extrapolate that forward, and we find out that earthquakes are becoming more frequent and more violent. At the same time that there's more people in the world to be subjected to the bigger, better, worser earthquakes. Same thing is true with fires and floods and everything else that goes on here. Now compare that with Matthew chapter 24. And my common sense says, what we're dealing with here is God, not random chance. Hey, I'm about out of time again. So I'm going to have to remind you that you are listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, reporting on natural disasters. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide daily over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. 8 schools in all. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Your time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.